say a word of welcome to those of you who are looking in on the internet this morning. Welcome to Miss Anne and to the Scots Church here, and the congregation here welcome you, and we'd like to say that if you're ever in the area, you'd be delighted, to see you and to have you join us in worship. Now this morning, we're concluding with a sermon that has been part of a series where we've been over the last 5 weeks looking at the Lord's Prayer. And I find myself returning again to talk about what I spoke about at the beginning of the month, namely the place of doxology within the Christian church. By this I mean the utter importance of living our lives in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving in order to develop completely fulfilled existences. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says this: don't let the world around you squeeze you into its molds, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why I was hinting earlier on in the little introduction for the children, you know, that we've got to watch and we don't get squeezed in by the mourners and the groaners and the people who don't see things with any kind of positivity. Everything's always happening. We need to be people who are positive, who see things in a different way. We want to allow the world to squeeze us into their mold. And so, it's about a different mindset. So when we put praise at the center of our lives, it changes our mindset. Praise and expectancy go together. By this, I mean we develop an attitude of looking for the good to give thanks and praise for. Looking for the good to give thanks and praise for. I think it's about trying to reconnect with the child within us. There's a beauty in a child where the child gets something that they're really excited about and they love and they say thank you. You know, recently when we were here, we had little Sophia, who is my granddaughter, and Sophia wanted a parasol. She wanted a parasol. And she said to her mum and dad, as we were down walking down at the lakeside, they were selling parasols. It was Thailand, it was probably Thailand. And they said, if you're in Switzerland in Bali, you can't go buy with a parasol that says Thailand. But Sophia wanted that. And seeing it on the way back in the car, she was sitting in the back of the car, and she was saying to her mum and dad, I would really love that with all my heart. I would love to have that green parasol. And I think Ian and Jane felt kind of mean that we hadn't bought that parasol. But of course, when Bernie goes back down again, Sophia got a parasol. And you know, you should have seen us, I think, with that parasol along the highway at the lakeside. She loved it. And she was a right little lady, and she just looked at that. And I love this about that, I must confess, just looking at that. I think we miss out on the child within us because there's a beauty within us all. But what about that beautiful child that your grandfather loved, or your mother loved, and doted on? Where is she gone? Where is he gone? Have we allowed ourselves become something we provide? And so it's re-engaging to have that heart of thanksgiving for all that you have, for all the blessings of this life. To have that expectancy. And I have a feeling that Sophia probably knew that if she walked down the roadside with Granny and Pop, she would get that. I think she knew that. There's an expectancy. When we walk with our Father, He wants to give us the very best. You know, and it's good to praise a child and pray that's good. But I'm saying honest praise. I'm not saying that one of us, which is all about, you know, you praise for anything, even if you're not really praising you. If we have to criticize, do it kindly, not cruelly.
So we need to learn how to praise, how to give thanks, but how to praise others, and to say, you did a really good job there. And as adults, we need to hear it. And if you're a manager or someone's line manager, when was the last time you called someone and just praised them? Not at the appraisal time, not at the appropriate time, but just, you did a good job. Thank you. Or when was the last time you thanked somebody in church for the things they do around here? This just happens. Do we take one another for granted?
Learning to say thank you, honest praise, is good for us. And you feel good when you praise somebody. You feel good, don't you? You get to watch them on coin saving, of course, then you're putting yourself above them by praising them. But to just lift someone in praise is such a good thing. So why praise God? When we are instructed to praise God, this is actually for our own good. It is not because God needs our praise. Oh, it's like a mega mea. It is because praise is good for us to engage with. Have you ever watched someone describing somebody who's their favourite footballer? And they start telling you how brilliant they are. Or have you ever watched someone telling you, I'm actually enjoying a musician playing? And they love it. They just go for it. And it's good for you to do that. It's good. Going back to my child illustration, what we must grasp is the point that Jesus was making when he talked about sending the child in our midst. It is not that we become childish, but we become childlike, to live a life of trust and expectancy, looking to see what God is doing with us next, and waiting with excitement to see what that would be. If you recall the Catechism, it reminds us that what is our chief purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Sometimes looking at some of our Christianity, it's the last thing that you think you come to church to really enjoy yourself. And yet we should come to church and enjoy being here, and enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the praise, but enjoy being a Christian during the week as well. Did you know that life is meant to be enjoyed? And if you're not enjoying it, let's start looking at it to see how it can be enjoyed. Praise is placed before us to connect us to God and to one another. That's why we need to praise. Praise and adoration are placed at the heart of our meaning and our purpose as individuals. It's part of our DNA. But it is so that we can be enjoined to God and to enjoy God. So praise is key to who we are, is key to our identity, because it's so we can enjoy God for a day, no, forever. And that's what this psalm is all about, introducing us to the open heart of God. If you look at Psalm 113, it's this beautiful psalm, because it seeks to explore for us the open heart of God. At the heart of God is the characteristic of praise. Let me explain something to you as I see it. John Calvin in his Institute states that if we wish to have knowledge of ourselves, we must first of all have knowledge of God. The kind of God we serve and worship will in turn allow us to understand who we are. You see, personhood is at the very heart of God. You and I are not objects. We're persons. Persons made, and a person can only be a person, and you can only have true personhood if you're in a relationship with someone else. You need to communicate. And so personhood is at the key, at the heart of who we are. And it's at the very image of God, because we're made in the image of God. Now, Christian teaching believes that true human personality and personhood derives solely from God. Hence, our love.
which is a kind of holiness. So you see, God is not a disembodied spirit. He is a person. In fact, his identity is triune. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in oneness of godness, or the oneness of goodness. So God's identity is understood in the concept of community and communion. What holds this communion together is a characteristic called love. And praise is the outward expression of love. And you ever love someone and then praise them? I actually think it would be quite hard to love someone without praising them. No? So you see, the Father and the Son adore one another. The Father says, this is my beloved Son, in love but please. And the Son says, this is the Father. You will be there. Then the Son looks to the Spirit and says, look at the Spirit. The Spirit says, no, no, don't look at me. Look at the Son. I'm here to reflect the Son. And then the Son says, wait for the Spirit, because when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will bring life into your heart. And so this is communion, this fellowship of God, Godness, the communion of the Godhead. And you see, I believe it is important that we recognize that our doctrine of God affects the way we see ourselves. So you see, as Christians, we're not individuals. We're persons who live in community, who are called to live in community. And that's why, again, they know the little passage in Corinthians chapter 12, where we're called the body of Christ. We all have different parts to play, but we play in a community. In other words, the God we believe in reflects the kind of person we become because we're made in His image. So a doctrine of God demands that we live according to that. So you see, the Christian perspective is this: we made in the image of God. These are the called to love one another, to see the good in one another. As the Father praises the Son, so we are called to praise one another, to see what's good, and to bring out the very best in one another in praise and service. Individualism often leads to selfishness. My needs trump yours. Sorry, I'm first. And that's a doctrine that's been around here in a lot of areas. It's not only me first, but it's our country first. And something else first, that I'm involved in first. It's not about that. It's the very opposite. If we're Christians, then we would have been looking at life. Remember the year we spoke about this? The rich young man who came to Jesus. And he wanted to engage with eternity. And Jesus looked at him and said, there's one thing to sell. Sell everything you have. Give to the poor. Come and be my disciple. He wanted eternal life, but he didn't realize that eternal life was tied up with love and service to one another. So, I think we have built into us, made in the image of God, a biased praise. It is in our DNA. And our personhood seeks to and wants to reflect the glory of God in the identity of the community, Trinity. So what does all this mean for us as God's people? The psalmist invites us to turn our eyes and look to God and begin to praise Him for His goodness. Not because He needs it, but because God wants us to enjoy the living. And living begins to be enjoyed when we start praising God and lifting our voices in praise and adoration to God.
It changes the way we see life because we start to live out the characteristics of God. And if you look at this psalm, it says, from the rising of the sun to the going down, we say, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praise God for the good things you see around you. Put on. Put on your glasses. The Thanksgiving glasses. And begin to praise God for what you have. For the place you're living in. For the beauty of this wonderful land of Switzerland. For the beauty of that lake. And lift yourself into the presence of God. And remind yourself of the uniqueness of God. There is no one to be compared with him. His beauty and his greatness is amazing. But yet what is even more amazing is that he stoops down in the sand and it says, he raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from the ash pits and makes them kings and priests to God. I remember many years ago, I remember going to Iquitos in South America, and I went to visit a rubbish dump. And on the rubbish dump, there was a church, a Christian community who lived on the rubbish dump. And the pastor of the rubbish dump was a lady who lived her life on the dump with a wee shack with a plastic, piece of plastic over some wood. And she was a little community living on the rubbish dump and waiting for the next load of rubbish to be tipped in that they could scavenge her food and make a living. And in the midst of that rubbish dump, there was a Christian church praising God beyond what they had, because God was lifting, you might say, out of the dump to see something of the glory of God in the midst of all their struggle. I think that's an example to us of our mindset being lifted. And I remember speaking to a lad on that, and he was telling me he wanted to be a singer. And I said to him, he told me what songs. And I said, sing me a song, and he sang me this song in Spanish, and it sounded great. And I said, have you got a guitar? He said, no, but I'm looking for one to maybe be in the rubbish dump one day. The next time I was back in the Iquitos, I went looking for him. I bought my guitar, took it to him, and he was overwhelmed. Maybe I should have given him something more than a guitar, but that was giving him something to sing about in the midst of squalor. And when life is so dark and there seems to be no way ahead, and our future is black like Abraham and Sarah, when they had no family and everything was going wrong, they still praise God, and through that they discovered in them grow all the families of the earth with us. But it's a hard morning. It's time to stop preaching. And I want to remind you of how important this idea of praise is. We really need to change our mindset because we are people called to praise God. And if we could start living that life of peace, it would be reflecting the life of love that we know we have because we are loved dearly by God. So where do we go from here? We're summing up the Lord's Prayer. Honor God in your life of peace. Expect from God in your life of faith. Have that expectancy. This is the high. Your passion and enjoy God in your life of service. Because as you serve one another, you enjoy and enjoy God. May God give us the grace as you start a new ministry next week that great things will be happening in this congregation because you have grasped something. Your doctrine of God. And in Switzerland, where Calvin was so famous.